Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
With your host.
And I already mentioned this, but I think we should have come up with a cool tag team name by now, but you've been turning a lot of things down. You've been turning down a lot of things. You turned down Sambros.
I've been open to everything.
You turned down Ska Madness. Yeah, I know you said you like the Beef Eaters. I told you I don't drink gin, all right?
Okay, first of all, you already know our team name tonight is the Rough Riders.
Told you the Rough Riders doesn't work. It doesn't. It's too sexual.
You're very suggestive.
Take your stupid hat off and let's go beat these guys. All right,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
And her producer. Sir Rocket.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Black and blue, I crawl along the wreckage of what now is gone. Back to you to fight another day. I'll go on and on and on and on.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Also, a huge shout-out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net and RackRadioShow.com. We're back. It's Thursday. I'm Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
Y-E-S. Yes. Yes, I am.
He's watching a spelling bee.
Hey, don't knock the spelling bee.
I'm not knocking the spelling bee. It's just he's watching a spelling bee. So if he spells things... I'm sorry, he's weird.
You can go tell your remote to go to ESPN, and you can see the spelling bee, too.
It's on ESPN?
Yes!
Wow, slow sports night.
Is no, it,
like
it really
a contact spelling bee, or is it just a spelling bee?
It's the National Spelling Bee. Scripps Spelling Bee. It's a thing. It's a thing, Lindsay. Come on now.
It's weird.
Get up with the times, will ya?
I am up with the times!
How are
I'm not the one watching a spelling bee.
Spelling bee is a big deal.
To you.
To hundreds of millions of people.
To you.
To millions of people.
To you.
And if it matters to me, it should matter to you and the rest of the people live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, etc., etc., etc.
You cheap plugging whatnot, you.
I'm a cheap plugging whatnot. Spell whatnot.
W-H-A-T. I don't know. It's two words. K-N-O-T.
Oh, man. This is a fun, fun night, and we've just not even touched the surface of what
we have.
Do I
need to go get alcohol so I can drink during the show so you can ask me to variously spell things during the show while I get drunk?
No, we're good.
Because we could do that.
We could, but you have to work in the morning.
Right. Damn.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. We'll have to remember that next time.
But tune in to Saturday night, see if you're ready. We may be doing some sort of spelling bee that they don't know about yet.
You're evil.
I know. That's what I do. Sleepy Raider's back, so, you know, we gotta, you know, we gotta step up our game sometimes, and that's what we do here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have to stop wasting time. We have a lot to do tonight, because we have things on our rundown.
You know, I would rather waste time than talk about the things we have to talk about, because I don't want to talk about the things we have to talk about. Arrgh! No. No, user 86410 wasted is not what I will be in order to spell, because if you've known me for any extended period of time, you know I cannot spell. I can't speak either, but I especially cannot spell. Thank God for spell check and autocorrect. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Not all the time, because, well, autocorrect gets it wrong sometimes. But yes, we have a lot of stuff to get into. We have a page worth of news, thanks to somebody. So we're just going to jump right into it, brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net, Gerwick.net once again, and TNAsylum.net as well. We'll be talking, I think, a little bit about TNA later. But right now we have to jump into the biggest news of the week, which is that WWE announced that they will be taking SmackDown live on Tuesdays after July 19th at 8 p.m. on the USA Network. But wait, there's more.
Bullet point number one.
It will also air live in Canada on Sportsnet and live in the UK and Ireland via Sky Sports. One thing that should be noted about this that is of particular interest is that, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's back. WWE is moving forward with a brand split in which SmackDown will have its own exclusive roster. Raw will have an exclusive roster as well. There will be some bleed over on occasion, but not all the time. It was announced that basically John Cena will be going over to SmackDown.
Well, it hasn't been announced, but that's what the idea will be.
Yeah, it's all speculation at this point. So announced was the wrong choice of words, but speculation is Cena will be SmackDown, Roman Reigns will be Raw. The draft is for the two brands is supposed to take place on July 11th on Monday Night Raw. Tune into the post show for that one.
So before you continue on, they have this golden opportunity to do a draft thing on the network. Like, for me,
they have a golden opportunity not to do it at all.
I understand this. But for me, they have this entire network, and you see all this ESPN, how ESPN does their draft and everything. It would be cool if WWE did something like that on the network. Rent out a building, do an actual draft. That would be entertaining. You put it on the network for 2 hours, it would do numbers. Trust me. You would sell subscriptions. But that's just me. I'm a geek like that. I like that sort of thing. That's me. That's just me. I like the presentation of it.
I like the presentation, but it's like, to me, I'm not feeling this at all. I'm just going to say that right up front. I'm really not feeling the brand split. I didn't like it the first time. I was really happy when they combined the rosters back, because to me, when they did the brand split, I understand why they had to do it was because the roster was so big that they had to put it on two shows. There was no other way to do it because nobody was getting TV time. In this instance, it's like, I guess I don't really understand it because you have 3 hours of Raw, you have 2 hours of SmackDown, and you have a very diminished roster right now due to injuries, and not everybody's going to be back.
Well, the idea is for everyone to be back by this point.
We hope.
We hope. We're going to get into that, you know, now you understand who this user is.
Hold on, I'm not looking.
Anyway, so...
Hi, Brent!
There you go. Anyway, to run down some ideas, because I wrote some bullet points.
You wrote a page worth of bullet points.
A half a page of bullet points.
It's a page of bullet points.
There's like... Shut up. Anyway. some of the rumored ideas that will take place for this brand draft, whatever you want to call it, is the U.S. and IC titles will be split to be brand exclusive belts with one on Raw, one on SmackDown. IC will be on Raw. SmackDown will get the U.S. title most likely. The World Heavyweight Championship will be split into two. I do not like that idea, but I see why they're doing it. The Women's Championship is going to be brand exclusive at this point, but then again, it could change to be where we'll jump brands. There will be some dual brand Raws. Tag team titles will also be jumping between the brands. And to go along with the Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, Hebrew, Japanese announced teams. I don't know what they actually are at this point. There will be a Raw and a SmackDown announced team for all pay-per-views. So for everyone, here's the one positive, okay? For everyone clamoring for Mauro Ranallo to do more announcing on pay-per-views, you get it now.
Or they could have just, you know, added Mauro Ranallo to the announced team and just got rid of somebody.
You mean Michael Cole?
Yes.
Okay. You'll never get rid of Michael Cole.
Yes, I know, I know. We'll never get rid of Michael Cole.
So those are some of the ideas taking place for this draft, for the brand extension, rather, which leaves some questions, and this is where the second set of bullet points she was, you know, chastising me about last night for.
Well, before you get into that, I kind of want to talk about the rumored ideas.
Okay.
I'm with you. I don't like the idea of the World Heavyweight Championship being split. It didn't do good things last time. I don't like the idea of creating two championships and having two championships for both brands, simply because eventually one championship will be held over the other one, and you've done a lot of work to establish the WWE Championship as the premier title.
Right.
And now you're going to do a lot of damage to it and make it less valuable, basically, because you're going to take it and split it. And it's like, we all know, if you watch during the brand split, and when I say when you watch during the brand split, you watch the full brand split for however long it was, like, what, 10 years?
About that.
You know, where they did everything. When the brand split first started, it was a very interesting concept because it was Raw versus SmackDown, and it was cool for about 6 months. Sure. And then it got really tedious.
And here's in the beginning, it was Raw was really difficult to watch, which is saying something, because you had the NWO in and out, you had Steve, and the very beginning of the brand extension was really weird with Steve Austin, because his on and off again relationship made that show really, really weird. Ric Flair was in charge of it, and then after 2 months, Vince McMahon was like, no more Ric Flair, he's going back to being a wrestler, we're bringing in Eric Bischoff, which was a cool moment. It did give us Eric Bischoff, and he actually did. For all things about the brand extension, Eric Bischoff as a general manager was actually pretty cool.
Bischoff as a general manager was cool, but I mean, it's like, the way that they did I liked how they did the champions, where the champions could jump before they finally split the titles. It was like, yeah, but what eventually happened was, Raw became the premier brand and SmackDown was shoved off to the side. And my concern is that's what's going to happen again, is that it's like, it will be good for the first 6 months to a year because they'll settle everything out. It'll be where they want it. It will be balanced. And then what happened was all the good talent was put on Raw, because Raw was the A show and all the kind of B talent went to the B show, with the exception of The Undertaker, because The Undertaker was the star of SmackDown, and he held that brand down with everybody else around him. Now, to be fair, a lot of stars were made on the SmackDown brand, so that was the balance of it. But my concern with this is that they're not going to balance it, that it's going to be what it was before at the end, which was that SmackDown really nobody cared about, and it was all about Raw.
Yeah, and that's the worry. And the reason why it got so heavy is Raw started to lose ratings, people got concerned, so we had to beef up Raw again. With it being on the same network, the thing is, they may not be in such a panic this go-around to bring people back over, if that makes sense, because you're on the same network, and you're trying to get comparative ratings for both nights. The best part about this whole brand split, and then we'll get into other points, is actually SmackDown going live on Tuesdays. I really like this idea.
Yeah, I'm for SmackDown going live on Tuesdays. It's nice that you no longer have to worry about spoilers. They're just going to do it live on Tuesdays. You can watch it on Tuesday, and then it's like you get it over with Monday and Tuesday. And then by the time you get to the next Monday, you're good to go again. But also it kind of lets things simmer a little bit before pay-per-views, where you can do a really strong go-home between Raw and SmackDown for pay-per-views and let that anticipation build for Sunday, rather than do a go-home on Raw, wait 3 or 4 days, do a secondary weaker go-home on SmackDown, and then go to the pay-per-view.
Right, and now with the two shows live, each show having its own big main event to push, you'll really get two strong go-homes. That will be a positive for this whole thing. The writing crew is being split up again, so each show will have a different writing crew, which may actually benefit some things.
Yeah.
Instead of there be 29 writers for one show, it's not like split in half, so that's a good idea. So one guy gets split into two, which, you know, may be awkward for the dude, but you know. But the point is, each is going to have its own cast and crew and everything like that. And it's going to lead to the positives you mentioned with the original brand extension. We got the popularity of Rey Mysterio and Edge, Randy Orton, John Cena got made, Batista got made. You had all these people coming up, and you actually did make stars. Paul Heyman was a huge factor in this. he made a lot of guys and pushed a lot of guys to become some of the best superstars, some of the Hall of Famers we have in the WWE Hall of Fame. Eddie Guerrero got the shine in this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of benefits to it. SmackDown for a while was really, really good. And hopefully that's what it'll be this time around. Because SmackDown is sometimes you can miss the show, like, or you can have it on in the background like we do. It's a show you don't have to pay attention to all the time. Now it'll become must-see television. One, because it's live. Because you won't know what will happen. And it's just sort of, it will be good for that reason. For other reasons, when, you know, you're splitting the talent, it becomes an issue. Especially when some of your favorites are only on one show.
I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. And Brent, no, they better not blame Lindsay the Wyatt family and split them up in the draft unless they give Luke and Eric to Bray and they send Braun off on his own. I'm okay with that.
We get rid of Braun. We're okay with getting rid of Braun.
I'm okay with getting rid of Braun, but Eric cannot go on his own. He requires adult supervision constantly.
Oh, and for everyone at home, we have a sounder.
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
There you go.
Apparently, I've already been at work this week. To all the Johnny Depp fangirls out there, you're welcome.
So, there's all that. But, yeah, anyway, point back to the original point. I hope they don't split up tag teams. I think that was one of the bad things they did. Because they were so desperate to shake things up and make things different, they split up teams like the APA, the Dudley Boys, etc., etc. And it's like, in 2016, don't break up something that's working.
I think they'll be a little bit smarter about it this time in regards to that. I think they're going to keep people together, at least the solidified tag teams, because it's like Enzo and Cass, they will keep together. The Wyatt family, they will probably keep together. I mean, there are maybe some people that get split up, but it's like ultimately it's yes, because they are trying to reinvigorate the tag team division. You can tell that there's now a concerted effort being put towards that they are not going to split teams up like that, because it doesn't make sense to. It's stupid because, okay, you have somebody who's in a successful tag team, you split them up, and now what do they do? You're right. Now essentially forcing them both to start fresh when they were in a gimmick that was working. You know, in the case of the APA, it worked because we got JBL out of it. That's who he became. And he was already starting to become JBL when they kind of did the split. But it's like for Farouk kind of fell by the wayside.
But at the same time, he was winding down his career to begin with, so.
Yeah, he was winding down his career to begin with, and that's fine. But it's like same thing with the Dudley Boys. The Dudley Boys never worked when they got split because they never pushed either of them. It was just like, oh, okay, well, you know, you're broken up now. You hate each other, so go for that. So, you know, it's like if they're smart about the tag teams and they don't split up a lot of the tag teams, especially the ones that are successful and working, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I don't want them to be stupid about it. And right. That's what I feel they did the last time was they were just really...
They were desperate for single stars last time.
Yeah.
But this time around, and this time around, they actually have enough single stars that they don't need to split up these teams. Like, you don't need to split up the New Day or the Wyatt family. God, if they split up the New Day, people would riot.
They're not going to split up the New Day. They make too much money.
They make too much money. Which is why, during the WTR Fantasy Draft, this Sunday on Wrestle Talk Radio, we're not splitting up teams.
Oh, good.
Teams get drafted together.
Oh, good.
So if you want to draft the Wyatt family, you can draft the Wyatt family. But Bray Wyatt's not part of the Wyatt family.
Okay.
I'm just giving ground rules. Tune in Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Shameless plug. It's a good thing we promoted that. Anyway, back to this whole thing. I know. I'm so shameless tonight. Anyway. So, a couple of questions. What talent will they bring up? Could we now be seeing Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and Bayley on heading to the main roster?
Without a doubt. I think Finn is already on his way up. There's a lot of cryptic stuff going on down in NXT, which we'll talk about when we do NXT, because there is a little news on TakeOver. But, yeah, I would expect that Joe and Finn and Bayley and more come up because of this. Because you're now taking, like I said, the roster is not as big as it used to be when they did the brand split originally. So they're going to need to bring people up to supplement putting everybody on two shows. Especially for Monday Night Raw, where Raw really does actually need a little bit heavier roster because it's 3 hours.
And I'm kind of, with our biggest concern, and we've talked about this a couple times, is the third hour Raw. That could become a struggle.
Yeah.
But
if you don't have enough people, it's going to become a problem.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll settle that. But yeah, we're gonna see Samoa Joe, and we'll see Finn Balor and Bayley. Maybe not both Finn Balor and Samoa Joe right away, because one of them will be the NXT champion, but one of them will be up very soon, and this could be a way to do it. But we're gonna see a bunch of NXT people come up. Some of the lesser names, probably just to fill out the roster, which is okay. You leave, because you're gonna have three touring brands at this point, so you need to keep some guys down in NXT. It'll be interesting to see who they pull. Just looking at the rosters up and down, there will be enough people. There will be. Because they now let them focus on others. Now, one of the things making the round is what now happens for TNA Wrestling. Because they do a show on Tuesday nights called Impact Wrestling.
Well, Dixie's going to cry. I'm sure she's already done that. And then they're probably going to sit down with Pop TV, and they're probably honestly going to try to either compete against SmackDown initially, because they are just foolish enough to think that they can. And when that doesn't work, they'll move.
Yeah, the first 4 weeks will be like, can we move to a new day, please? 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 Please?
Because, you know, it's... They just, TNA can't compete, even though Dixie's planning on talking to some of the released talents, which, you know, Rock was busy this week. We'll get into that in the second segment of the show.
I wasn't that busy.
You were busy enough.
Okay, but I'm, yeah, okay.
But yeah, so Dixie's planning on talking to some of the talents, if any of them are available, which I think only one actually is right now, due to no compete clauses and legal such. Legal whatnot. We'll see if they try to compete, but otherwise, it's like, yeah, TNA, if they want to retain their viewership, they may want to consider moving.
It also will now, the ramifications of this whole thing will move Total Divas back to probably Sunday, I would assume.
Sunday or another alternate night, unless they're gonna, well, no, I don't think they need to, because what, Total Divas airs at 9 or 10?
Airs at 9.
They could push it back an hour?
They could.
And be okay, but they'll more than likely move it to a different night.
And yeah, probably back to Sunday, because the Sunday and Tuesday are usually E's big nights, so I would assume Total Divas would go back to Sundays. After the Kardashians, probably. Which would actually benefit Total Divas. This move might actually do it. The one other question about this whole thing is, who now will run the shows? Will Shane get Raw or Shane get SmackDown?
My guess is Shane gets Raw and Stephanie gets SmackDown. That way Shane can leave after Raw and go back home. And Stephanie can be in the office on Mondays if she needs to be.
I think it's the opposite. I think Shane gets SmackDown, she gets Raw. Because Stephanie is the face of the company, so she'll be on Monday Night Raw.
Maybe, maybe not.
We'll have to see. But yeah, I'm intrigued, is the best way to put it. I have a lot of reservations on this, but I think this can do a lot of interesting things.
You know, like I said, I'm not feeling this just because I was not a fan of the brand split the first time, but that's just because I had to deal with it for 10 years. You know, going back and thinking about it when it started, yeah, it was a cool idea. It was a cool concept because, you know, it had all this promise and all this hope, and you hear things like Vince McMahon is really inspired and he has a lot of ideas and he wants to try things. It's like, okay, well, you know, I can be positive and I can give this a chance, but I'm hesitant on the chance because it's like, okay, we'll see how this goes kind of thing. Because, you know, people saying, oh, well, Vince is really inspired. Anytime Vince gets really inspired, that's either really good or really bad, and there's no in between. You know, it's like, I'd like to point out that I think Vince's inspiration was Hornswoggle. I think that was his whole idea.
Probably.
Along with, you know, like, Katie Vick and a couple other things.
That is what the brand extension brought to us in our first year was Katie Vick.
Katie Vick. You can thank the brand extension for Katie Vick. So,
but hey, the brand extension brought us back Shawn Michaels, so that was cool.
We did get Wrestling Jesus back. We got Edge. We got one of my favorite storylines of all time, which is the Edge Undertaker Vicky Guerrero storyline and the whole feud between Taker and Edge. So we'll have to see how it goes. It could be really good, or it could be really bad, or it could just be kind of eh. So we'll have to see.
Oh yeah, King Kins, guess what? Katie Vick never happened, but it did, and it's available now. On the WWE Network.
Oh, Jesus Christ, is it really?
It is. They have the episodes on the network now.
Oh. I remember walking out of the room during that. I actually stopped watching wrestling for about 6 months after that. Because I was just like, this is what they're doing with it? Yeah, okay, I'm done.
Katie Vick, everybody. Katie Vick.
But that to tell you what that storyline did to me is, like, I can take a lot from wrestling, but when you start, you know, screwing corpses and necrophilia and whatnot, I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm so done.
Better question, which is the worst Vic, Michael or Katie?
Debatable.
It is very, very debatable.
Because, I mean, you know, Kenny was just laying there. She's kind of the victim. You know, she didn't hurt dogs that we know of.
You never know.
Never know.
And really, Matt, you're really surprised? Really surprised? It's this kind of night. It's The Rack Live. And we're going to take a break now.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to be having the second half of our news segment because, like I said, it's a page long where we have Blame Rock's Blame Brent's, and we're going to debut, I think, the Blame Lindsay's because I know I have at least one, and we have a couple other news highlights. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back. Now we all die.
When we step in the place, and you can feel the raw excitement from the look on their face. It's like the prize right in front of my eyes to take, and the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
This is your Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, and I'm going to make something perfectly clear to my congregation. When Pope is done pimp-slapping all of his opponents in the ring, and Pope likes to sit down and relax, he goes to youtube.com/MBG1211.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And also a fine hello over to the folks over at Gerwick.net and people listening to us at RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for listening to us over there. Now we're on to part two of the news. If you're just joining us, you missed all our talk about the WWE brand split, which is forthcoming this summer. But now... we have a few other things, and, well, we have to talk about the other big news, which is the return of Seth Rollins.
Hey!
We'll be getting into that when we talk about Extreme Rules, but just quick announcement, Seth Rollins is back. Thank the Lord, I have missed that weasel so much. Welcome back, Seth.
CrossFit Jesus has returned, and all the fangirls are excited!
I'm happy. Like I said, you don't realize how much you miss people. Seth Rollins. Until he's gone for 7 months. And then you realize what Seth Rollins is capable of, and you're like, yeah, you need to come back. Like, now.
Now,
so Seth Rollins has returned. They're going to be doing a WWE 24 special regarding his injury. It will be airing this Monday after Monday Night Raw.
I love their WWE 24 specials, and this will be very good. From the teasers I've seen, this is going to be really good.
Yeah, this should be very, very well done. I love the documentaries. I love that they do them because it's something different. It's something refreshing. You get to see them as they are, which in today's modern day, it's good to see them as they are because it's like you can connect with them on a more human level.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of interesting that I was going back and I was watching, I think it was Judgment Day earlier today.
Yes.
And it was, you go back and you look at it and you're like, wow. And you look at it and you're like, I, wow, okay. You know, it's, you see the characters and everything like that and you're just, it's like, yeah, I can see it, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, seeing somebody on the road to recovery and fighting through an injury and seeing really what they're made of kind of thing. To me, that seems... that seeing that helps me to just connect better. I don't know, though. I'm weird.
No, I get you.
So, but yes. Monday night, WWE 24, the Seth Rollins show.
Yay!
Yay! Couple quick notes before we jump into the Blame Rocks and the Blame Brands. WWE has hired Austin Romero as an announcer slash host for NXT. He will be known as Mike Rome. So, congratulations to him. Welcome aboard, which is an interesting hire, seeing as they just got rid of like three announcers.
You know, that's how you go.
So anyway, oops.
Oops.
Oops. Well, one too many.
Well, you know, well, they have a spot. They do have a spot now.
They do. And let's see. Let's talk real quick about Camp WWE. By the way, side note, the new episode airs tonight. So we're not talking about tonight's episode. We're actually talking about the one that came out Sunday after Extreme Rules.
Episode four.
Four. Yeah. Oh my God. There's only six. Oh my God. We're almost done with it.
Oh no. We're almost
done. Seth Green, make more. Please make more.
So this was an interesting episode of,
This was an awkward episode. I'm not going to lie.
This one is a lot more awkward than the ones in the past, as I misplaced my notes. But anyway, this had to do with the Mark Henry baby, which
food
was
baby.
Food,
he's
his food.
Constipated.
He's constipated. He had a food baby. It was different. That's the best way to put it. Well done, Evan. Well done, Evan Michael Lee, on the acting on it. But
yes,
it was. It was one of the more challenging episodes to get through because it was just really, really awkward.
It was kind of a not-so-subtle commentary about John Cena and his relationship issues, I guess. I mean, it really, that's what it felt like it was. It was this kind of really 20-minute animated shot at John Cena and fatherhood and all of that other stuff. So it's like, it was just a tad awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's the kind of the resolution of that whole storyline in the show, which is, you know, Mark Henry has the food baby in a really disgusting manner. And it was just like, you know, no.
No, just no.
No. I mean, I love the hell out of this show. I think Taker is the sassiest thing alive and it's amazing. But just the delivery, the way that they did the resolution of the story, I was like, oh, that's nasty.
Now the other half of the show, because the other half was a lot better than the Mark Henry food baby, was the Triple H asking out Stephanie storyline.
Oh my God, this was amazing.
This was great. So first off, Stephanie took Taker's hat and tossed it aside and just kicked him out of a seat. That was that was great. Triple H can't stop thinking about Stephanie as he's talking to Sergeant Slaughter. And he just let her recommend you should tell her how you feel. And so Triple H asks Stephanie out, but he needs to get Vince's permission first. And well, Triple H then has to go out and ask out Vince McMahon and take him out onto a date. So Vince has this checklist and he has to run, you know, he's giving him points and everything for what he likes and what he doesn't like. For Triple H, this was Operation Double Pants. Charm Vince's and take off Stephanie's.
No, it's charm Vince's pants to take off Stephanie's.
To take off Stephanie's, yes. Vince didn't like the flowers.
No, Vince didn't like the flowers, but he appreciated Hunter having manners.
For opening up the door.
For opening up the door, complimenting him how he looked.
Yeah, as they raced to the door, and he's like, I was just trying to open up the door for you.
And Vince is like, oh, thank you.
they beat up on a comedian.
They did.
They heckled and then beat up, I should say. Then they took a ride with the Swans. who are dicks. And then Triple H question, is he in love with the wrong McMahon?
They bonded. Vince and Hunter bonded, and it was hilarious. And they basically, they stay out all night and end up on the beach the next morning with Vince saying, you know, I'd just really love to go to, oh crap, where was it?
Morocco? Some foreign country.
Yeah, I think it was Morocco. And just, you know, just throw it all away and run off to a foreign land. And Hunter was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So then the next day was the Triple H and Stephanie date. She didn't like the flowers. She didn't want Triple H to open the door for her. And, you know, they're having their date, and Stephanie's talking all about herself. And then she mentions, Vince is gone. We can have the cabin to ourselves. And then Triple H just realized, where did he go? And she mentioned something. He left, and his thought was he went to the foreign country. And he then rushes to the airport.
Where Vince is in a Chili's, too.
Not just a Chili's. Chili's too.
Because he likes the lamps, and the manager won't let him buy the lamps.
Yeah. That manager's just a mean person.
Lamp Nazi, I believe was the phrase used.
Yeah. Vince was then playing Triple H for a fool, because, you know, if he falls in love with him, so he won't go out with Stephanie. And in the end, Stephanie liked that Triple H was playing hard to get a little bit. And then Vince was trying to steal a lamp. And eventually, Stephanie, the next day, smacks Triple H with the tray like three or four times. And we're cool. I like this part. I like the Triple H side of it better. Triple H Stephanie side of it better than the Mark Henry Cena thing, because the Mark Henry Cena thing was a little creepy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, it was well done. So props to Evan Michael Lee for and everybody who did the episode. But yeah, the Cena Henry stuff was just a little wrong. You know, it's not even the offended kind of wrong. It's just the, okay, this is really uncomfortable kind of wrong. Because it was basically they were acting like they were married and Cena had knocked up Henry. And, you know, it's that whole them basically playing off a married pregnant couple kind of thing. And it was just, it was like, this is slightly weird.
I was honestly waiting for the hand.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for the hand.
Figured he'd give birth to the hand, and then it made all sense, but no, it didn't happen.
They missed a golden opportunity. But yes, I mean, great episode otherwise. Can't wait to see tonight's. Watch it tomorrow. But yeah, cannot. Seth Green, you need to make more of these, because this is fantastic. And you need to get Mark Calloway to somehow play his own father on the show.
Hi, I'm the Undertaker's father, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the Undertaker's... I'm Undertaker's father.
Mark
Undertaker. Actually, I'm waiting on that show for them to actually call him by his first name.
That would be great.
Because if you remember the first episode, Vince says that Margaret Undertaker can really bake her ass off. So Undertaker is his last name. So it's like, oh, come on, call him Mark. Mm-hmm. Do it. I want his name to be Mark Undertaker so bad. Because I am sick and wrong like that.
But anyway, make sure you check out the Camp WWE only on the WWE Network.
Yes, and now we're going to do the Blame Brett first, and then we'll do the Blame Rocks.
All right, it's time for this week's Injury Roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Brent, man, you lucky on this one. Because, well, the only name that we have to report is the boss, Sasha Banks.
Hashtag blame Brent.
But she's not blame Brented anymore. She got cleared to compete today. So she was hurt. Now she's better. So Brent, you are lucky. Lucky, lucky, lucky.
Now a previous...
Hashtag blame Brent.
That was undisclosed with Summer Rae, who also suffered concussion. But she has been cleared as well. So that one was unreported until today. So you got lucky. There are two possible ones. Just knocking off the women. First Becky, then Summer, and Sasha.
Dude, that's not kosher.
You know what he's trying to do, right? Trying to knock them all the way so Eva can be champ.
Yeah, he wants that all red everything champion.
He does. He really does. So he's going to knock out the boss, you know, everything. Dude, calm down. Chillax. We're good.
She'll get there.
She'll get there one day.
No, we won't, Brent. We never will.
Never, ever.
forever. And now, because somebody else was busy, the blame rocks. We had three releases this week. Two of them were, well, one was really kind of surprising. The other two were expected of sorts. The biggest one and the most surprising one was that Cody Rhodes announced that he had asked for his release from WWE over the weekend. WWE granted it, so Cody Rhodes has left WWE. This was quickly followed by his wife, Brandi Rhodes, who, again, once Cody left, everybody was expecting her to finish up with the shows, which she did, and then she asked for her release and was granted it. And then finally, the third one, which really nobody's surprised about, and it's an unfortunate end to a very unfortunate situation, or I shouldn't say end, but update to an unfortunate situation, is that Adam Rose also asked for his release from WWE and was very promptly granted it by WWE.
Hashtag blame rock.
You're fired!
I hate that sounder so much, it's so creepy.
That being said, let's talk about Cody Rhodes for a moment.
Yeah, let's talk about Cody Rhodes.
It was really surprising to be scrolling through Twitter and then on Saturday go, Cody said he gave his release. What? You can see his frustration building. He apparently wanted to be Cody Rhodes for the last 6 months, and WWE, was like, no, we want to keep you as Stardust. And I don't blame them, because probably can make more money off of Stardust at this point in his career rather than Cody Rhodes, because, you know, marketing and stuff. He was very frustrated with creative. He had his issues where writers weren't apparently listening to his ideas. They were blowing him off. And he got, you know, annoyed by it. And you can understand his frustrations. You really do. I really get why he was frustrated. But at the same point, it's like, at some point, I don't know. What was your thought?
I was really surprised about this, simply because it's like you hear rumors of people asking for the release, and knowing how dedicated Cody is to the business and how much he loves it, this was surprising that he had asked for it, but once he released the statement, it made more sense. I have to disagree with the way that he sort of did it, and this is just personal opinion, so, you know, I can shove it for all he cares. But it's something to me that I get you're unhappy in your job. You know, we're all unhappy in our jobs. You know, it's, I'm not getting the money that I feel I'm owed, or I didn't get this promotion, or I'm not getting pushed, or I want to do something different, and my boss said no. And, you know, you always have the option to leave, which he opted to leave. For him, it's a little bit more difficult, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But to me, it's like, I feel like he's given himself more trouble than what it's worth, if that makes sense. Because, you know, WWE was not happy about him asking for his release. He still had a lot of time left, from what I'm understanding, on his contract, which is never good.
Never good.
And so he asked for it. He was granted it. And then he released the statement. And I think my issue comes with the statement, because he has every right to say what he wants to say in regards to the release. Because he wants to explain himself, and he wants to justify why he did what he did. And that's fine. And it's, you know, all he really had to come out and say was, I was unhappy with the direction, I asked for a change, they said no, and so I decided to leave. That's all he really needed to say, and I think he's given himself a world of trouble by taking shots. Because he named names. You never name names. Granted, the only two names that got dropped were Hunter and Vince, but still, those are the two names that count.
No. Those are the names he actually used, but he took the shots at the writers.
Yeah, he took shots at the writers.
Which were Ed Koski and Ryan Ward.
Where basically he accused them of hitting on the divas and not listening to him and not paying attention and, you know, basically ignoring his requests. And he had said that he had asked to be the quarterback and the main guy and the top guy several times, and he was always shot down.
Here's the thing. Not everyone can be the top guy all at once. You know, there's only one world champion. Well, now there's going to be two again. There's only a certain amount of people that can headline a show. Sometimes you need to be a supporting character. Sometimes that's just the role you're given. Everyone in the company wants to be the man. It's great that he wanted to be the man, but you can only have one the man.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's not to say Cody couldn't be the man. He's immensely talented. He's a fantastic performer, fantastic wrestler. He's taken every gimmick they've ever given him. Most of them have been crap, and he's turned them into something. You know, it takes a special kind of talent to do that, and he definitely has it.
Right. Cody's amazing. He's very, very talented. He'll be missed on the product. But at some point, you know, you look at the landscape and you go, okay, I think he... that point, that time has missed. He missed his chance to break out. Because he never broke out fully after the stuff with Legacy. If you were going to make him a star, that's when you made him a guy. And for to his credit, he was featured very heavily.
From what I always remember, he just never clicked. Like, they tried. They really actually did try to get him over. And he just never clicked, from what I remember. Because it's like, he did a lot. You know, he did Legacy. He did Rhodes Scholars. And I think that was, aside from Stardust, when he was the most over was when he was doing Rhodes Scholars with Damian Sandow.
No, I would disagree. Him and DiBiase against DX, that's what I think when they were most over. And
yeah,
there were main eventing shows with DX. Like, you had your main event spot with DX. That was awesome. They were really good together.
Oh yeah, they were great together, but it was a tag team. And it's like, you know, not everybody's meant to be a single star. Some people are meant to be a tag team star. Cody's a great tag team guy. He really, really, really is. He's been featured, you know, in Legacy, Rhodes Scholars, with his brother, you know, several other people. So it's, you know, it's like, well, you could have been a tag team star, but, you know, I understand his want to be on the top, to be the guy, because his goal was to do the one thing his father never did, which was win the WWE Championship. And that's a fantastic goal to have. And honestly, the road to redemption of going from Stardust to Cody Rhodes, building to him, you know, maybe winning the Royal Rumble and getting a shot at the title, you know, it's a great story to tell, where Cody Rhodes tries to rebuild himself, if you can get people interested in it. It's one of those epic rags to riches kind of things that everybody loves. But WWE wasn't interested in it. You know.
Yeah, and I think part of what's going on is he lost his father a year ago. And I think that's played a big part in, you know, he always had him to rely on to build back up his frustration as a sounding board, you know, just to lift him back up. And now he no longer has that the way he once did. And I think that's sort of the frustrations kicked in this. Like, he used to have Dusty, now Dusty's not there. He's on his own. Yes, he has his brother. Yes, he has his wife. But Dusty had pull. And Dusty would, you know, Dusty's been around the game and he could help him with his struggles. And now he doesn't have that. And I think that hurt him a little bit, you know?
Well, and also it's, you lose your father. And especially in the business that they're in, where it's, he's a second generation star. And he comes from a legendary wrestling family. And your father was there with you. It's not like he... You know, it's not like you're a second generation star and your father's out of the business and it's not like Roman Reigns, basically, where his father's at home. He comes from a great wrestling legacy, but most of the older generation is at home. They're not on the road. Dusty was in Florida, but he was on the road. He was involved in the product. He was in and out of the backstage. He was around. And as you said, he was the guy that had pull. To lose him, I think probably took some of the fun of it out of it for Cody.
Yeah, I think it did. I think he lost some of his passion for it. And that's why he needs, for him, walking away from WWE might be a good idea. Just so he can find himself again. And I think that's sort of what he wants to do. He wants to find who he once was.
And if he finds it, that's great. I'm absolutely 100% for people helping themselves and getting on the right track and getting where they need to be. And Brandy is 100% supporting him. She's behind him all the way. She's left as well. What could get tricky for them.
For him. For him, mainly.
For him specifically. For both of them, because they could technically slap them both with a no-compete. But I think they're less concerned about her and more concerned about him. Is that he did have time on his contract left. And he quit. It's not like he waited for his contract to expire. He quit.
For Brandy, she had 2 months left.
Yeah, so I mean, if they wanted to say, okay, well, you can't work for 90 days, she's like, fine, whatever. But for Cody, it's, okay, well, say he had 2 years left on his contract. They can look at him and go, okay, well, you know, you can't compete for 2 years until that date passes. They can do that to you. They did it to Brock Lesnar, and it ended up going court because Brock Lesnar wanted to work and WWE wouldn't let him. And that's ultimately what led to Brock going to UFC. But, you know, they could do the same thing to Cody, where they look at Cody and go, okay, well, you have X amount of time left on your contract. And because you decided to kind of be an asshole about this and take a shot, well, we're going to take it right back. If you want, and because it's specifically tied to the Cody Rhodes name.
Yeah, which WWE owns.
Which WWE owns. So it's like, he can go anywhere and he can compete as Cody Reynolds, because that's who he is.
But that's not who he wants to be. He wants to be Cody Rhodes because that's who he is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, the no-compete, I should have said that earlier, was it's specific to Cody Rhodes. And I don't even know if he can use Cody Rhodes after that because they do own the name.
They would have to settle that in court.
So it's like they can really put him in a world of hurt if they feel so inclined. And from what I understand, he's gotten a lot of heat backstage because of his comments, because of the explanation, and for the shots. And that's not what you want.
No. Unlike Cody, Brandy has left on good terms. There's no hard feelings. So she's trying to keep everything cool going forward.
And she's found something else. Like, she can go off and she can do modeling, or she can do any other number of things. She's very versatile talented as well.
She's doing a fashion blog, from what I've gathered.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to be okay. I'm sure they've been smart with their money. They will be fine. But yeah, it's just Cody, for me, and this is just me, okay? I get this as an everybody. For me, to get back to my original point, because I wanted to say a couple other things before I got to this, is if you're unhappy in your job, you have every right to quit. If it's to the point that you just can't deal with it anymore, which it seems like that's where he was, you should absolutely quit. Because it's going to become a very unhealthy environment for you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for me, it's like, okay, well, this is a bump in the road. So do I really need to quit, or should it just take time off? So I just think about this. You know, it's like, realistically, it's like you probably could have waited out his contract or gotten closer to his contract date and then asked for it. Or go to WWE and say, hey, I need to take time off. I need to take care of some things.
Right.
And take, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months off. You know, now that they're out of WrestleMania, it's easier for people to go out. Because it's not all hands on deck. So for me, it's like, I think he's put himself in an absolute world of trouble that's kind of unnecessary with this. But it is what it is.
It's a decision he made, and it's a decision he'll have to live with. And I think he's happy with the decision he made.
Yes. I think he is too. And if he's happy, that's all that matters.
That really is. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. He's happy with the decision he made, and he'll move on, and he'll wrestle for New Japan or TNA or whoever.
Yeah. So we'll see where he goes. And just quick note on Adam Rose. Again, it's no surprise Adam Rose was released. It's a little shocking he did ask for it, but considering everything that he's going through, it makes sense that he asked for it, because that's who he is. Rather than them fire him, he quit. There's no worry about him competing or anything like that, because he has legal troubles he's got to go take care of. So there's that.
And breaking news in regards to Adam Rose, he cut his hair.
I'm so shocked. He's getting cleaned up for court. That's what he's doing.
You know.
Like you do. Somebody's got a court date coming. But yeah, so best of luck to everybody as they move forward, especially Adam Rose. Good luck with that one, man.
Good luck.
Good luck. Let us know how it goes. But I say we take our second break of the evening.
Hold on. Didn't you say we have Blame Lindsay's?
Oh yeah, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Hashtag Blame Lindsay.
You're welcome, everybody. And Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale.
Hashtag Blame Lindsay.
You're welcome for the Johnny Depp. I accept full responsibility for this.
And again,
hashtag blame Lindsay.
Yes, for those of you who don't know what this is, I get blamed when people break up, whether it's celebrities or wrestling. Rock gets blamed for people getting released, fired, what have you. Brent gets blamed for hurting people.
And when a celebrity dies, hashtag blame Rob.
Yes, CB Radio's Saturday night, midnight-ish.
Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. But let's take a break, come back, and do some more fun things like NXT.
Sounds like a plan to me. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien, of course.
Yeah!
why did I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick.
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santana's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I get a wrong pop them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'm going to go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate, everyone picked CB Radio and WGR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MVG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And a hello to everybody listening to us out there on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and Gerwick.net. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're just joining us, you missed our brand split discussion and, well, the regular news and notes of the week. But that music is the one and only Nia Jax, which means NXT.
Now, before we go on, I agree with you, Matt. You should go until they're only, till someone gets a word wrong. No co-champions. Yep. Screw that.
Really?
Yeah.
You want them to spell it to the death?
Yes. You don't want to be co-champions. That's just wrong. You need one winner. There's no co-champions in baseball or football. Do you want the Falcons and the Eagles to be co-Super Bowl champions? That's not how it works.
Because it would never happen, dude.
I know. But it's the same thing, though. You don't need it in Spelling Bee. It's a competition.
Although I forgot to tell you this. I'm going to laugh if the Eagles make it to the Super Bowl the year that it's in Atlanta.
That would be amazing. Anyway, back to NXT. It opened with Regal announcing Bayley has suffered injuries and will not be available to compete at NXT TakeOver. Boo. But tonight, we will have a triple threat number one contenders match with Nia Jax, Carmella, and Alexa Bliss. Our opening contest had Gargano and Ciampa taking on the new team of TM61, Shane Thorne, and Nick Miller. This was a good quality tag team matchup. TM61 seems like they have some pretty good, decent ability coming from Australia. This was a good, fun opener. Gargano and Ciampa picked up the win.
I would agree with that. Very enjoyable match. Looks like the new guys are going to be a lot of fun. That's all I really have on it, yeah.
I'm going to, you know, ignore that one because he's a fan of the Cowboys, so, you know, he has his pipe dreams as well.
Let's see, who's going to make it first, Cowboys or Eagles?
Falcons.
Go Falcons!
We had a hype video for Samoa Joe. Then we had Bayley talking about not being clear to Russell at TakeOver. She says, Mr. Regal made the right decision as she isn't ready to fight someone like Asuka. And Nia Jax says she broke Bayley and she won't be the same ever again. Carmella comes in standing up for Bayley. Alexa arrived and she was talking and then Nia was like, you have something to say? And Nia says, she isn't worth it. So, and walked away. Alexa then and Carmella got into it a little bit and Carmella said she'll make Alexa tap out tonight.
Strong words, ladies. Strong words. This is going to be fun.
I liked about the four women promo.
And we got Bayley.
We did. I can't even pronounce the new dude's name, but there was a teaser for a new dude. Lasombro was his old name. I'm going to try to pronounce the other one because I forgot it.
I think it's probably Andre or Andre Cien Almas.
Something like that. We had Austin Aries in the ring. He talked about the word the best. It's one of the most overused phrases in sports. He says the problem with being the best is that you're only the best until someone better comes along, which is why he calls himself great. He says he talks about how you define greatness, championships, big time winning matches, and, you know, well, he debuted in NXT. He says timing is everything. He says when he showed up, there was someone else grabbing the attention. And then that led to a Nakamura chant. And then he said things like that, stuff like that is about to change. He says Finn and Joe will sell their battle in a cage at NXT TakeOver. The end.
Yes, just as a quick update, NXT has now been named The End.
Says it's only a matter of time before Aries is NXT champion. Fans boo because out comes Nakamura and they erupt. Then Nakamura makes a joke in Japanese and Aries not understanding Japanese or understanding him. And then says the NXT championship isn't coming to greatness. It's coming to the king of strong style. Then William Regal came out and talked about their impact they've made since coming to NXT. And says he liked them as a team, but he sees something more, and the fans were chanting for TakeOver. Rigo's like, yeah.
Done.
Aries, Nakamura, TakeOver. We had a handshake. It's on. It's official. I like this a lot.
This is really well done. Really, really, really well done. And we're getting Aries and Nakamura at TakeOver. Shut up.
Right. And by the way, just for a reference point, next week we will preview all things NXT TakeOver right here on the rack. Because we're 2 weeks away.
We are 2 weeks away. It's coming!
Speaking of TakeOver, Jordan and Gable talked about facing their toughest opponents in the revival at TakeOver. They know what they will get with them. They say they love the fight. Says they are the two best guys in the business right now, and they all prove that they are ready, willing, and Gable.
Aww, they brought back the old name.
They did. We then had, No Way Jose taking on Johnny Vandal. All Jose, all the time.
Jose.
She's only doing that for one reason. To get it stuck in my head.
Yes.
Because that's what she does. But because it's so snazzy and catchy. Play it in the background for this point. Corey Graves then was being asked to dance by No Jose as Tom Phillips was doing it as well. And Corey Graves' reluctance was really, really funny. And then he eventually got up and did it, and, you know. Says he's got some skills, a little bit. A little bit of skill.
A little bit, not a lot.
Not a lot. But his theme is catchy. Anyway, No Way Jose won the match.
This was a really entertaining segment. I liked how the fans were getting into No Way Jose. He was dancing, he was having a good time. He has a really nice energy.
He does. He has a really nice energy, and he gets the crowd into it.
I don't know if it's a long-term thing, but he has a really nice energy, and he's got a really nice smile. So he's got that going for him.
Oh, we then had a hype video for Finn Balor, and then we talked to Asuka, who says she was asked who she would like to face. She has no preference. No matter who wins, she will defeat them.
Get it, girl. Get it.
We then had the number one contenders match, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, and Nia Jax. This was really, really good. All three girls were good. Nia dominated for a while, but then when they got rid of Nia for a little bit, the matchup picked up. Alexa and Carmella had some really good chemistry. There was a nice hesitation taking Nia out of the ring at one point. Alexa Bliss was able to hit the sparkle splash. You kept having Nia missing big splashes in a corner, getting tossed out or through the ropes, and sort of, yeah, okay, we're going to get her out and let the little girls take over. There was one spot where Carmella did a dive but got caught, and Alexa broke it up, so Carmella went back and did the second dive and took out Nia Jax, which was a really nice spot. This was overall a really good match. She went for the Bronco Buster on Nia Jax, but got hit with a Spine Buster and a leg drop, as Nia Jax is the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship.
This is going to be fun.
This was an overall really good match.
I like this match. For me, I think it's like I liked it better with Carmella and Alexa, just because they have a little bit better chemistry than with Nia thrown in there. But Nia did her part, and Nia did a very, very nice job. This was well done all the way around. And yeah, Asuka versus Nia, that's going to be fun.
I wouldn't mind seeing Carmella versus Alexa at TakeOver. I wouldn't mind it. I don't know if that's the plan, but I wouldn't mind seeing the match.
I'd be okay with it.
After the match, we had Asuka come to the ring, and she came to the ring first, gave that evil, evil smile, and then came to the ring, and they had a stare down to NXT. Overall, good show.
Very good show. They're getting TakeOver set up and ready to go, and then next week is to go home, so I think they're doing a great job.
I agree with you. They're doing a great, great job getting us geared up for it. So yeah, that should be fun. I'm going to make an executive decision right here.
We're not going to take a break.
We're not going to take a break. We're going to go right to Tweet of the Week. How's that sound?
That works for me. So Tweet of the Week, y'all. Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Kevin Owens, somebody tweeted him and said, "You are stuped, S-T-U-P-E-D, and I make that this my post it Monday night on Raw." And the guy tagged both Jericho and Owens in it, to which Kevin Owens replied, "Chris, what is he saying?" Anna Kendrick, "Sushi people are such snobs. I ask for a California roll and throw my chopsticks at the waiter, and suddenly I'm a jerk." Let's see, Andrew Bailey tweeted Kevin Owens, "How do you have such bad farmer's tan if you never wear sleeves?" And Kevin Owens replies, "It's simple. I have sleeves on at all times outside of the ring, and I don't care about having a good tan."
Hmm.
Quality advice from Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And that's all I got.
That's all you got? All right. So here we go with some tweets of the week. We'll start with Renee Young. There's a tweet. "There's a prom in my hotel. A prom. And they're playing The Chronic. But it's supervised by adults. So they're okay. Don't worry." She's very concerned.
Renee, don't let your boyfriend go down there.
Brian Alvarez, "TNA may have re-signed Bram, but evidently they lost Janice. Hashtag WWE Extreme Rules. Hashtag Ambrose Asylum." Trey Wingo, "Actual discussion in the newsroom with Jeremy Schapp just now. Which animal gestation periods have lasted longer than the Flakegate? Hashtag Elephant Twin." Because they actually had a discussion about that. I find that awesome. Kyle Lewis, "Keep it 5 stars. So hashtag Seth Rollins never got my get well soon fan fiction." Sad face. You know, that evil, evil Seth Rollins. Ripped it all up.
Oh, Seth.
Someone tweets Chris Jericho, "I'm super pissed that I Am Jericho ended Apollo Crews winning streak on the main roster. Hashtag Raw. Hashtag push Apollo." Jericho said, I buried him. Deal with it.
Chris, be nice.
Keep it five-star. Ziggler on Raw presses triangle for the zigzag. Ambrose presses L2 to counter. Presses triangle for the dirty deeds. Wins. Happened. Keep it five-star. Primo on Raw. Our debut on Raw last week was... Blacked out every negative thing ever said last week. Unbelievable! Bayley, geez, I want to be AJ Styles. Hashtag Raw. Sasha goes, not if I'm her, not if I'm, not if I'm him first. And she goes, I'll race you. I love the two of them on Twitter.
They're adorable.
It's amazing. Luke Harper, ever think about dinosaurs? 14 hours later, I don't.
He's having way too much fun just screwing with people.
It's amazing. EC3 tweeted, I just chopped off a snake's head off with an axe. Joseph Park, that's egregious. Felonious and self-defecating in Florida, my friend. EC3 replied, self-defecating? Isn't that shitting yourself? Park is like, it has different meanings throughout the legal world, my friend.
Joseph Park is back.
Robbie E tweeted him, how many Twinkies have you eaten today? How many times have you looked at yourself in a mirror today? At least he had a good comeback. He really did.
He really did.
ProWrestling.net. Who will turn out to be the Johnny Manziel of the 2016 WWE Draft? And the 2016 Mr. Relevant of the WWE Draft is Connor of the Ascension, who will have a parade held in his honor in Newport Beach.
Aww.
Three-man booth. If you've never seen a brand split before, it's like Captain America Civil War. Both sides are good, but someone's gotta take vision. Emma tweeted, I've got a house to furnish and decorate from scratch. Where to start? Guess this will occupy some of my rest / recovery time from surgery. Ryder goes, a room for my toys? I mean adult collectibles. She's like, there's no way all that will fit in one room. You're kidding yourself. That's Tweet of the Week.
That's Tweet of the Week. And well, now, and by the way, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. If you're just joining us, we're going to do Extreme Rules.
Yes, we are. We had the Dudley Boys. They talked about, you know, being extreme before, you know, it was a thing. They were, you know, they had more matches than anyone else before the locker room and Extreme Rules. There was an ECW chant going and a heel on ECW, which was really good. Then Big Cass, they said they're now Bell Extreme. Dudley's want to get out of New Jersey. Big Cass interrupted. He told some jokes about food. And then Big Cass fought both of them off and sent them packing.
Go Cass. Go Cass.
The best thing on the pre-show was Rusev and Lana in the social center. Rusev is great.
Rusev has zero cares.
And
like,
it's
he just
awesome.
Does not care.
And it's awesome. It is awesome. No DQ, Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler. This was okay. Corbin won, but this was okay.
I thought the match they had last month was better.
Yeah. This one just was sort of there. It wasn't as good as last month. Corbin, though, picked up the win, which was needed to happen. Then you watch Monday Night on Raw, and they're gonna do it again. Why? Because.
Because they can.
Anyway, it ended up with an uppercut to the groin, which was my favorite phrase of the night. An uppercut to the groin!
That's unique.
Thank you, Maranello. End of days for the win. To clear things up, we all had Corbin except for the 8-Ball who had Dolph Ziggler. We then head to the main show. Opener was really good with the Usos and the Club, which saw the Club pick up the win.
Yeah, this was a really, really, really nice opener. Crowd was into it. Very enjoyable. Club gets their first victory, which is what they needed.
Well,
and yeah, just a really, really great contest. There was a lot of aggression. There was a splash on a ring bell, which you know didn't feel good, and several other spots. But yeah, it was well done, well put together.
Yeah, it was good. It started a brawl on the aisle. Yeah, as you mentioned, super kick, stops the bell, then a splash on the ring bell, then Magic Killer for the win. The Club, Gallows and Anderson get their first win as members of the Club, first and last, since the Club is no more in the incarnation it was. We all had Gallows and Anderson in this one. Kalisto versus Rusev was a very enjoyable match. So much better than the Ryback Kalisto matches we have been seeing. Kalisto was, his offense was being swatted away by Rusev for a while, but then when he picked up speed, it became really, really good. But the interesting finish was, Kalisto got launched off the top rope onto the side of the ring. Kalisto was being checked on by the referee because of his injured back and ribs. Rusev kept wanting to get, you know, apply the accolade, but the referee would stop him from grabbing him. Eventually, Rusev was like, screw this, I'm going to pull him in the ring. I'm going to bend him in half and put on the accolade, which is what he does. And Kalisto tapped out. Rusev is the new United States champion.
Yay! Waves Bulgarian flag. I don't know. Lana was happy. I really liked the finish on this match just because it made Rusev look absolutely savage.
Which is what you need to do for him.
Yeah, which is what you need to do. Rusev looked really good in this match.
Which is what... They're doing a really good job building up Rusev right now.
Yes.
This is the Rusev we needed to see for the last 6 months. In the League of Nations, he just was... He was just a guy. If you actually let him be himself, he has some personality. Him and Lana work great together. Lana is now back to where she was. She's great in her role. All this act works, and I like the fact that he is now the United States champion.
Yes, so we'll see how it goes.
Which could all end on Monday, but we'll see. We'll see. We all had Rusev except for the 8-Ball, who had Kalisto. The Vaudevillains took on the New Day for the WWE World Tag Team Championships.
I don't know what the Vaudevillains were wearing, but I'm kind of digging it. But it's like, I don't quite know what they were wearing. They got dandied up for this.
This match was your basic tag match for a long time, and then it got a little interesting. When Big E got the hot tag, he went for his big dive. English blocked it. Got a 2 count. New Day went for the big ending, but Big E got knocked into Woods. So Woods was down. He was being taken out. They hit the whirling dervish for a 2 count, which I was kind of sad about. Big E would eventually hit his dive. On the outside, Kofi from behind hit Trouble in Paradise, and then a running knee by Woods for New Day to win. I was slightly disappointed in this match. I didn't think it clicked as well as it could have.
I think they were rushed. They felt like they were rushed. And it was, yeah, they didn't click. There wasn't the chemistry that you thought there would be. And I was very disappointed that the Vaudevillains didn't win, because now it's like, okay, you know, yay, New Day won, and that's awesome and everything. But it's like, you were building the Vaudevillains up, you're building them really strong, and then you have them lose, and it's like, well, wait a minute.
Now what?
So, New Day retains. We'll have to see who steps up to take the New Day on next.
Three of us had the Vaudevillains, but the 2K Sim had the New Day.
Damn it, 2K Sim.
Well, they were the ones right, so... Anyway, in what was probably one of the two matches of the night, Intercontinental Championship, Fatal 4-Way... The Miz, Owens, Cesaro, and Zayn, right off the bat, haluva kick to Kevin Owens, which was fantastic. And then an uppercut to The Miz to take them both out.
The haluva kick to Kevin Owens. Cesaro and Miz were just standing there, and Cesaro was like, okay! Like, you could just tell Sami Zayn has been waiting a long time to do that.
It's a great spot.
An awesome spot.
So we had Zayn and Cesaro for a while, which was really, really good. Miz would eventually get back into it. And this match, all in all, was great. We had Uppercut City. There was a nice exploder suplex by Cesaro with two men. Sharpshooter was applied. Miz was tapping, but the ref was distracted by Maurice. Cesaro helped Miz up. Owens hit the frog splash on Miz's knees. He was pulling up by the legs. It was like, that was creative.
Mm-hmm.
Neutralizer, too, as Sami Zayn broke it up. Sami Zayn then went crazy for a while. He hit the haluva kick, but it was broken up by Kevin Owens. And then Zayn really went insane, or inzane, get it? Inzane? On Kevin Owens. Beating him up on the outside of the ring, which allowed The Miz to steal the win and retain the Intercontinental Championship. I really enjoyed this match.
This was a match of the night contender, for sure. It was really well done, really put together. It was very entertaining. Everybody was working together well. There was a lot of great chemistry. Like I said, Sammy just kicking Kevin in the face and looking at him like, I am so done with you, was just awesome. And then just... Yeah, this was fantastic. I loved this.
The Miz,
really, for Sami Zayn having enough.
Yeah. I had The Miz, you had Cesaro, 8-Ball had The Miz, Sim had Owen. Then we had the match that went really, really, I think it's still really? Going, right now, Ambrose Asylum, Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose. This went really, really long.
This went about 10 minutes too long, and I think part of the problem with this match was you had to continue to climb to get the weapons, and the match really didn't start, more or less, until they had all the weapons down.
Yeah. We had nunchuck battles versus Barbie, Nunchucks won. They fought, they climbed, they fought, they climbed. We had straps, we had straitjackets. But then it got interesting when the thumbtacks came out.
Holy Jesus.
Like, I was thinking, oh, it's a bucket of water. Because he had a mop, and then that's like a bucket. Okay. No, and he pulls out this black bag. Oh, that ain't water. That's tacks. And this is where the match got really interesting, because they were kept teasing going for the tacks.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's like Dean Ambrose takes the bucket down, there's something in the bucket, you're not sure what it is. He opens it, and he pulls out a black bag, and it's like the second that bag comes out, anybody knows anything about wrestling goes, oh, business is going to pick up. And you know what that black bag means? That means thumbtacks.
It does.
And they spread them all over the ring, and then Jericho and Dean proceeded to dance around the thumbtacks for the next 5 minutes until Jericho finally took one for the team and went through the tax.
Yeah, we even had the barbed wire being used on the back of Dean Ambrose, which is like, oh, okay, we're actually using it. All right, cool. But yeah, Codebreaker countered right into the thumbtacks, and then he hit 30 deeds for the win. Dean Ambrose saved us by picking up the win.
Overall, I think this was a good match. I liked the finish of it.
Again, it needed 10 minutes cut off, but a segment was cut that was 10 minutes long with the McMahons, basically the announcement of the brand extension, which they saved for Wednesday. And, yeah, this match, as a result, got extra time.
Which I'm okay with, but the thing I think for me that made it really difficult to watch was just them continuing to climb to get the weapons. I think if they do this again, they need to bring the weapons down a little bit to make them easier to reach.
About 5 feet, yeah. So, Dean Ambrose picks up the win. As far as picks go, we all had Ambrose except for the Sim, who had Chris Jericho. We then had the submission match for the WWE Women's Championship, Charlotte and Natalya. The match was alright, but I was disappointed again. Because these two girls can go. We saw that Roadblock. They can go like no one else can go. And they were doing nice submissions, they were doing nice counters, and it was great. They were doing a great job with all that. But you never got out of second gear. You wanted them to go and go and go like they can. We got the sharpshooter. You hear the woo. It's not Ric Flair. It's Dana Brooke. The couple of distractions by Dana Brooke allow Charlotte to lock in the figure eight and Natty taps out. I like the pairing of Charlotte and Dana Brooke. We've mentioned that before. But I was disappointed because I know these two girls can go. And I don't know what the idea is. Maybe it seems like they're trying to protect Natty in the finishes. But I don't know why they're trying to protect Natty in the finishes. It would have been stronger. It would have been stronger if Charlotte was able to get wins. Straight up wins to build her as a champion.
And I think she will at some point, but they're not ready to do that yet. So they're protecting her and Natty in the meantime by doing more convoluted finishes. That being said, I don't feel like this was their best match. I think they had that either at Roadblock or they had it on that first initial meeting where Charlotte and Natty hooked up. But I'd have to go back and watch that match. But it's something that they have great chemistry together. They work well together. Charlotte's a quick study. She can pick up on Natty's moves. I mean, it's just, to me, it was like, yeah, this was just okay.
You know they can go, and you wanted to see them go. Like last month, or 3 weeks ago, whatever it is. They were going, and they're going, and going. And then we got the convoluted finish, where they could have gone for another 10 minutes, and you would have really gone and had a really great match, because you're really getting to it. This one, you sort of got into it, but you really couldn't get into it, and yeah, it was just okay. Charlotte retains. We had Charlotte. The Sim had Natalya. Which now brings us to the main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship Extreme Rules. This was a hell of a match, but right from the get-go, music doesn't even hit. Boo, Roman.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. You're just sitting there like, ooh. But yeah, this was a great, great match. Highly enjoyable. A lot of fun to watch.
A lot better than their first encounter.
Yeah, I think because they've been working each other and they've been feeling each other out, they were able to do more. Plus with the hardcore stip, it helps both AJ and Roman because you don't have to worry about it as much. You just have to make sure you're keeping everybody safe.
So, we fought through the crowd. We got to the pre-show table, and your reaction was what?
Break the table! actually just break the logo on the front of the table because it bothers me, but...
Yeah. That's the artist in her.
It's the aesthetic thing.
Yeah. Styles with a running form off the table. Then we got to back to ringside. AJ jumps on the barricade, runs over one table, but then gets backtrapped onto the U.S. announce table, which got a "You still suck" chant at Roman Reigns.
That was a little harsh.
But funny.
It was funny, but it was a little harsh. I've actually seen a lot of backlash from people inside the business for everybody chanting that.
We had the Razor's Edge powerbomb, sit-down powerbomb by Roman, who then did some facial reaction afterward for a two count. AJ would eventually take out the leg of Roman. AJ Scott's then would eventually get swung into the barricade and inside the ring, and then powerbomb through the Smash announce table on a delayed break, which looked like it hurt a little bit more. It's like, I landed. Oh, wait. Crap. Fell. Damn it.
Yeah. That hurt. You know that hurt.
Yeah. Roman Gekker went through a barricade. Superman punch as AJ Styles was standing on the top rope and fell to the outside. I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
That was a little, yeah.
Basically, AJ Styles is dying for our sins at this point, and we should be grateful.
We really, really should.
Because he took some really, really sick bumps in this.
So we had a spear on the outside. The club came to the ring. They laid out Roman. He kicked out their finish. Usos came in, double super kicks, big splash, two count. Superman punches to the club. Styles clash for a two count. Superman punch, no, Pele kick. Styles clash on the chair. An Uso with a distraction, leading to a two count. AJ then destroys all the Samoans with chairs and getting ready to set up for the phenomenal forearm. He goes, he leaps, speared. Roman Reigns is still the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Good match. Really good match.
Really great match.
It's a toss-up between the four-way and this one for match of the night. I don't know which one was. They're both great.
For me, I think it's the four-way. This was really, really, really well done. But I think the four-way was just a little bit better.
It's a toss-up for me. I can't choose.
But yeah, this was, pardon the pun, phenomenal.
I had Reigns, you had Reigns, 8-Ball had AJ Styles, the video game had Roman Reigns, I went 7-1, you went 6-2, ha ha.
Do you feel better about yourself now?
I do. Sim went 5-3, 8-Ball went 4-4, so there you have it. Oh wait, it's not over. It's not over, because guess who returned after the match? CrossFit Jesus himself, Seth Rollins, came in the ring. Huge ovation, pedigree on Roman, and then holds up the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
And the internet exploded from the sight of Seth Rollins, because it's like, oh my god, he's back!
Rollins is back. Holy you know what.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, so this was a fun show.
It was a fun show, but it was a weird show.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like, it's just, you sit there and you're like, you know, it's like the end of the women's match was really convoluted, and there were a couple other things that just make you go, what? But overall, it was a good show.
For the four-way and the main event, it's worth your money.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I think my only issue with it was mainly the women's event.
Yeah. And a little bit with the vaudevillains, but yeah, the women's needed to be better. You expected more out of them.
Well, I think they just needed more time.
Yeah. So with that, I'd say we're done for the evening.
I say we're done. You got stuff to plug, so plug away, my friend.
Okay. First off, forgot all about this. Here we go. If you're in the Florida area and want to go see We Don't Play Fight on June 4th, the first person to get in contact with me, I can give you 2 tickets to go see the event. Why, you ask? Because it's simple. Tomorrow, on a special edition of the Rack Extra, we are joined by Jason Static, who will talk all about We Don't Play Fight from Conquer Pro Wrestling. Check it out. Facebook.com/Conquer Pro Wrestling or Twitter.com/Conquer PW. So again, if you're in Orlando, get in touch. I can hook you up. So there you go. But you can check that out, available tomorrow right here at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We're back after a 1-week hiatus because I went to a wedding in the cold and the rain. But hey, we're back. We got some Blame Robs. We got some Blame Subs. We're probably going to do a spelling bee. We'll do ace tweets. We'll do an e-hal. It's all the fun stuff. It's Zero Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and Omega. This Sunday will be the WTR Fantasy Draft featuring Team Mike, Team Omega, Team Tim, Team Rock, and Team Lindsay. We do battle. More details available at wildtalkradio.com/fantasy.php, where you click the link at wildtalkradio.com. So check that all out. We'll have all the fun stuff, and we even have our own version of Mel Kiper. A snarky version. Check
it out. A very snarky version.
So check it out. It's Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com. Vote in the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. The return of John Cena. We'll talk all about 11:10 p.m. Eastern on the Raw Post Show. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here at WildTalkRadio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show. Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show. YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Get us on Google. Google Play and iTunes, search Rack Radio Show, Stitcher as well. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You have way the hell too much crap.
You gotta take some of it off of me sometime. Jesus.
God, dude.
And anyway, go.
You do too much. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And please check out our very fine sponsors because they're awesome sauce. Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211. For all your wrestling. Hey, I remembered it this week.
I heard the pause, though. I heard the pause. You're like,
No, don't say it. We took one out.
Yeah, MBG1211 for Ario Stop Motion Wrestling X Figurines, because I interrupt that one. Continue.
Gerwig.net, TNAsylum.net. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening to The Rack. I need to go to bed because I have to go to work tomorrow. He needs to go to bed because he never sleeps. So we will see you all next week with our preview for NXT. But till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we are out. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.